We'll call this meeting to order, it being 6:02 on, what's the date? November 16th. It's the Board of Trustees meeting of the Great River Regional Library. Good evening, everyone. And our next item on the agenda is to adopt the agenda. I've been notified of no changes, so I'd be open to a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Hey, Jane and George. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to agenda item number 3. Page 3 in your packet were the September 21st meeting minutes of the board meeting. I'd be open to a motion.
I'll move that, Madam Chair.
Moved by Ed. Seconded by Melissa. Any questions, comments, changes, concerns? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Public open forum. No one is signed up and no one is present to speak. So we will move on to number 5, the financials. The bills were emailed to you and also an addendum emailed. So this is an action item.
Madam Chair,
yes,
I'll move approval.
Okay, Mary moves approval. Is there a second? Seconded by Al. Any questions or comments on the bills and addendum? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to 5.2, the financial reports also were emailed to you. Again, this is an action item, as usual. Certainly can discuss.
Approval.
Mary moves approval. Is there a second? Okay. Seconded by Jane. Any discussion, questions, or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Under the consent, we have no items under our consent. So moving on to item number 7, page 9. In your packet are the Minnesota Library Association legislative priorities. Do you want to say anything about that?
These were approved by the Minnesota Library Association membership at their October meeting. They're going to the MLA board for final approval. I provided them here for your information. The Library Legislative Day will be at the end of February. If anyone wants to go, there'll also be a virtual Library Legislative Week. The two topics we'll be most interested in at Great River would be the regional library basic system support, should there be a supplemental budget bill where that's an opportunity. We'll also be interested in the bonding for library construction, which, you know, Howard Lake and Kimball most recently were awarded. We always have libraries that are looking to do that. And then thinking back to prior meetings, the idea about a school library center, media center and staff, that is a policy statement that we're hoping that the legislature would put into action, and we would certainly support that. It's not specific to Great River, but that topic's actually come up here at the board in October, I think. So there is a House and Senate file associated with that, and the Library Association will be advocating for that.
Okay. Any questions or any other items people want addressed on there? Just to note, in Karen's report, you probably saw that she has been asked to serve on the MLA Board of Directors. Treasurer. So,
right.
Congrats.
Spreadsheets are in my future.
So there you go. So we'll move on to item number 8. Our presentation this evening is from Resource Training and Solutions. Wanda's with us. Wanda.
Here.
So Wanda Kramer is part of Resource Training and Solutions. This is one of the project partnerships that we have developed through our ARPA funding. So I asked Wanda to come and present today. We're just getting started with it. So I'm going to switch the lights for you real quick.
Is this on? All right.
Perfect.
No. Dave, yeah. We got our mood lighting going again.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wanda Kramer. I have started working at Resource just a mere 2 months ago, so I'm fairly new, but I started working at that time when they received a grant to fund more career exploration in schools. And so the grant, they decided prior to me coming on board, was going to be toward and to work with a program called Future Forward, one in which you all have voted to generously help fund the piloting of the program. And tonight, I think I'd like to share with you a brief history and definition of the program and what the goals are, and then a little bit about how it looks or how it will be used, more so that you know that your money is going to a good place. So the crux of this whole thing is that this program isn't necessarily a program that we will be doing activities within. This is a web-based program meant to build a gap between businesses and school districts. There's a huge effort right now to try to prepare students more efficiently to work in our labor force. And part of that movement has been stymied by not just COVID, but the inability for businesses to be able to connect to schools and schools to be able to connect to businesses. We found in the Southeast Co-op that there was a huge disconnect, and that was a complaint that they had heard through surveying from businesses as well as school districts. So the idea was for a computer-based or web-based program to be designed that would function as that go-between, the business community and the education community. And my background is, I've been an educator for over 25 years. As a matter of fact, Melissa and I have worked together in Annandale for the vast majority of that time. And in that time, I had noticed many trends happening because as students go, you find out what they do. And we have frequently discussed that students or businesses will come back frequently and say, oh, your students need to be more prepared in this way or more prepared in that way. They're not coming to us ready to go. And throughout the last 10, 20 years in particular, this is data from the Department of Employment and Economic Development, known as DEED. They recently did a report this summer about job and economic status in central Minnesota. They actually did all of Minnesota, but I pulled out one of the components that they threw out there referencing central Minnesota. These are a list of various careers, and in the chart, the bar graph on the side here is showing how much the workforce is declining from 2019 to 2021. And we know that the majority of the decrease in the number of employees or potential employees that we have is largely due to COVID right now. But the DEED is very careful to also point out that this has been a trend over the last 10 or 20 years. Much slower trend, but a trend that we've been seeing in central Minnesota. When the Southeast Co-op, which is the co-op that initially started the Future Forward program, when they got together, they had discussed these two ideas from these two very different groups, and they decided that one way that they could fill this gap of communication is by creating roles that businesses could do to help schools build more understanding or to prepare students better for the workforce. I listed several of them. There are actually about 30 different roles that a business can play if they decide that they want to partake in the program and provide a profile to students. But these are some of the more common ones that we're seeing so far. There's the opportunity for classroom speakers, mock interviews, project-based learning, job shadows, and the lower four that I labeled in red, these are unique in that the relationship that forms between the business and the student is a real direct relationship. So as a business, they can offer mentorship, internships, apprenticeships, and work experience, and all of those also tie very closely to what is the actual picture of our workforce. So this is also a graph that Deed put together. And really what I think is important about this graph is that only about 24% of our workforce really utilizes a four-year or more degree. The vast majority of our workforce utilizes a vocational or a CTE, which is Careers in Technical Education, type of background in order to do the job. So right here, these four roles that a business can offer tie in very closely with the vast majority of the jobs that are out there. Future Forward works with the whole circle, though. We don't just work with a small component. We have built in a program that will work for every student. Their career exploration can include CTE very easily, or it can go on to four or more degree type of occupations as well. So the primary three groups within the program would be businesses, educators, and students. And these numbers right here are from the Southeast Co-op. This is where they're currently at in building the program. This is, I think, about somewhere between two to three years worth of time that they've spent investing in the program, largely due to grant funding that they have received, if not 100% due to grant funding, but making some significant progress. And the goal is really to push this out to all of Minnesota, because we know that if students have access to Minnesota jobs, they tend to stay. And resource, here's our group, our co-op. Minnesota, I don't know, 50-ish years ago, or it was broken up into different co-ops meant to serve educators, cities, and other various groups. But in that effort to serve these groups, many programs are developed. It's nonprofit, so it's largely functions from grant work or grant receival or work that we put together in terms of programming that can bring in money to at least fund that programming. The Southeast Co-op is the co-op that developed the program, but the Southwest Co-op has been using it about 2 years now, and then the discussions among other co-ops is, again, that effort to push it out to give students a much better experience and businesses a workforce that they can better utilize. We've started at Resource in the spring and in the summer putting some businesses into the system already. And once I started 2 months ago, then I started looking at school districts. And I right now I have Monticello signed up, and Sauk Rapids is just about there. And I've had meetings with St. Cloud and Sartell, and now coming up in December, I'm going to try to push it out to our whole region, which happens to overlap a lot with the library's area. And so we're hoping that in working together, we can start to develop the program further. It's sort of like, you know, build it and they will come. And we're having this dilemma of businesses saying, well, you don't have any schools in it yet. And then the schools are saying, but you don't have any businesses yet. But we have, it's like the chicken or the egg, right? So we have to start somewhere. We've started with businesses. And we will then keep building and building. And the more participation we get into the program, the more valuable it will be to students. So thankfully, since our program is 100% grant funded at this point, we've developed some partnerships that will work within that area. And I just mentioned that Monticello and Sauk Rapids are, Monticello is going and Sauk Rapids is getting on board very quickly. Really, through the generosity of your group deciding to offer some grant money, these school districts are saying, we would not do this if it weren't for this grant money. Because school districts really don't have the extra money right now to spend, if ever. And it seems funny that we would put together a program that we would also charge school districts for, since that's the case. But the business model, when it was originally set up, has two parts. The first part involves grant funding and piloting. So we're going to utilize as much grant money as we possibly can to help school districts pay to utilize and pilot the program and get it up and running. The second part of the business plan is to provide or get to the point where we're hoping that both entities find the relationship so valuable that businesses will offer to help districts pay for the subscription costs for keeping the program in play. And that money will fund positions that are being used to facilitate, like mine, or IT positions that will continue work on the website. This is your, this is a view, a little view of how this program works. So I did some snapshots within. And from the business side of it, businesses don't have to pay a fee to be in the system. However, they are vetted prior to going into the system. There's an activation process they have to go through in order to be approved. But they don't have to pay that fee to start. So they can start right away. And this is the Mayo Clinic. They're really active in the system, so I put in a snapshot of what they have or what they're offering. Many different categories of information that businesses can supply to students. The more that's put there, the easier the students find the said business. And the most important two categories involve the employees that are at the business, because they're the contact point. These are the people that a teacher or a student would contact for a question about a particular career or to invite them into their class to be a speaker or any of the number of roles that they're willing to do. So we have center care in the system already. And to give an example of what this looks like, they actually have a few employees that are in and their roles are determined. So as an employee, they put their profile, and then they upload the particular roles that they are willing to volunteer with, and then they also add in the schools or the distance that they're willing to travel to do their volunteer roles. Now, this then is utilized by educators and students to find the business and to make those connections. The other important category that businesses have been utilizing, Mayo Clinic is heavily utilizing this component in November, so I'll show you their calendar in a little bit, but here is the experience tab. These are events or experiences for students, and teachers can utilize this system within Future Forward to find the event. Here you see a little snippet of a calendar. So the events can either be shown on a calendar or they are underneath the experience tab of the business itself. And again, these can be career fairs. Right now, a lot of things are virtual. not preferred, but that the, you know, you'd prefer to see somebody face-to-face if you're interviewing or that type of thing. But this is the world we live in, right? So this aspect then always comes back to the educator. There's a safety net built into the system where businesses do not have direct contact with students. So any contact that happens has to go through the educator and or advisor. And that's true on the student side as well as the business side. What that means is that the teacher or advisor can utilize the program to help facilitate those ideas by bringing in speakers, looking up businesses, finding speakers, or bringing in speakers who are willing to do maybe lessons with students or do some activities that fall in line with the type of career that they're studying at the time. And they can also utilize these tabs over there for each of those things, but they can also invite students to certain experiences that they find if the student isn't active on the computer system every day. And then the teacher can push that out to students. My co-partner here, Mike, put in a fake profile because a few of the slides that I have are things that we put together just to show the example. But and he thought it would. He wrote it in Latin, so it's not usually a bunch of jarbled upness like that. But you know, this is not what students would see. This is us being able to show the program. This is, however, the actual calendar that students are seeing in the Southeast Co-op right now, with the large majority of what's being offered from the Mayo Clinic. But there are other items in there that aren't through the mail. You just can't see who they're being offered from unless you click on them. So you can see there's opportunities for job shadowing all throughout the month, different career tours, virtual tours, and a number of different events that are happening as well. So again, this is the experience tool that is offered within Future Forward, and the teacher acts as that go-to person between the business and the student. Once the student decides, or when the teacher decides to push out the event, they have a current, you know, a list of their students here, many of the same tabs that are there for businesses end up being there for educators and students as well. And this right here is the chat box that is utilized to make all of that connection happen. One really cool feature is that educators, businesses, and students all have an opportunity for feedback. If they attend an event or they talk to a particular person, they have an opportunity to give feedback back to that person or back to that business. As the student, you see a very similar dashboard than what an educator might see. Right when they log in, they see the calendar. Now, this is my fake calendar because I wanted to create an event that would be utilized throughout. But a student would utilize the program in three distinct ways. They would use it as an exploration tool, or they would learn about particular companies, still falling under that exploration umbrella, and then they would hopefully develop actual experiences that they would go to the business and live out, per se. In order to do that, if we focus just on the career aspect at first, they have to go over here to these three options, and if they want to simply explore a career, the system is set up for them to pick a general area. Then another screen will come up that will specify a particular job area, and then I just picked accountants because it was the first one. I'm not biased in any way here, but if they click on accountants, it'll bring them to the Minnesota State site which hosts this area called CareerWise. Whoa. And the student can then find out things like, oh, how much do I make? What kind of education do I need? And who can I contact for this? Or you know, some of those pieces are present for students in a very, it's actually a really thorough website to utilize. And if they want to see more about a particular There we go. If they want to say more about a particular job or a career, there's hundreds of videos that have been posted thus far. That, and some of them posted by future forward people, others posted by businesses. But literally, they can click a search engine to find out all kinds of information about all kinds of careers that are available to them. This is an example of what they might see if they're researching a particular company and what the search engine actually looks like. So if they don't know the name of the company, they can filter through keywords, or they can look in a given area, and eventually it'll narrow down to a set of companies that they could explore if they wanted to. I think the coolest part of the program is how students can utilize it for the experience aspect. So if they go into the program, whether their teacher shares with them or they explore themselves and find, in this case, it's a career fair. If they find a career fair they want to attend and they need to register for, they click on the career fair or they click on the event. This screen pops up. They click view more details. Then a little registration tab pops up. They click on that. And then they're automatically directed back to their teacher in the chat box. And they have to tell the teacher that they're interested in this event. And then the teacher or advisor goes back and signs them or registers them for the event. And then they make plans together how this is going to happen. This is what the feedback component looks like. It's not meant to be long. It's meant to be short so that students will do it. And not just students, probably too. I mean, many of us as adults, you get that feedback form and it's got two sides, front and back, and you think, oh, okay, I can do it. But students in particular don't love that type of format either. So the format of the feedback is meant to be quite simple, but yet effective, hopefully, in how the businesses are sharing their information or performing their career fairs or so on and so forth. So my role is to work with what we're calling an education site administrator to set up the program, train anybody in the district who wants to learn, train students, train whoever. That's me. I'm that facilitator person. Along with that, I'm also trying to work with that site administrator or whoever in the building is their person, their career person, or their CTE person, willing to work with them to bring businesses into the system from their own community. Right now I'm working with Gail Cruikshank to put the St. Cloud businesses in, and we'll start doing more webinars and more meetings with that starting in January once we get kind of a pilot base for schools that will join us. But we're going to continue our work in that way. Monticello, they're significantly further with the whole career process. So they have a CTE coordinator, and that person already has a lot of businesses that have been interacting with the school already. But they wanted to build this database so that those businesses are not there just for her to communicate with, but for any teacher. And so their usage is going to be different than other schools who haven't done as much in any particular career area. To sign up is really pretty simple for a business. It's simple for anybody, really, but for a business, since there's no exchange of money to use the site for businesses, the business registers, somebody from the business registers, probably a marketing person, to have an account. That will have to go through the vetting process to be approved. And once it's approved, then that person can create the company page. And at that point, they can have other people from the company who want to participate as employees log into the program too, go through the activation process, and develop a personal profile. And then they can link to the business themselves. And then that will build that employee list for volunteers that who are willing to go into the school and help students or invite them into their business. Then the big thing would be to add events. This is, again, job shadowing, career fairs, or maybe just a virtual career focused on one career. It can be many, many, many different things. And businesses can initiate that process themselves, or in St. Cloud, we have EPIC, which some of you may be familiar with. It's a really big job fair that many schools come and participate in. That is also something that can be uploaded onto the system. So here's my information. And the last thing I'd like to share, I mean, if anybody has questions, I'll take those too, but the last thing I'd like to share is that the two webinars that I'm doing are essentially what you just saw tonight. So if you have businesses or you know somebody who would be interested in volunteering their time to work with the school, the feedback that we've gotten from some of the businesses that are working with schools is that it's super beneficial for them because they're building their future workforce. I mean, that's essentially why businesses are jumping on board at this point. And so the two webinars are going to be Monday, December 6th and Wednesday, December 15th. I'll have to verify that one. But is that a 15th? I thought it was a 16th. But.
Yeah, it's a 15th.
Is it? Okay. So one is in the morning, one is in the afternoon to try to accommodate for schedules for all kinds of people. But I would share that please invite anybody. This is I'm going to send my invitations out to the school districts that are within our co-op. But businesses can come on board. Anybody can come and join us. You just need to, you can contact Karen if you don't have my contact information. She can share the registration link, and we can get the word out that way too.
Okay. Thanks, Wanda.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah.
George.
So maybe I missed this. This capability that you're displaying here, I can see the word wow. It's called wow. Did some company come up with the software, or is it proprietary software that runs this whole thing, or do you know?
It is proprietary through Southeast Co-op. So they developed it. They have the people that put it together, and when changes need to be made, we get to just call them.
So they maintain it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so my second question is, I'm sure schools use it differently, but do some of them, is this mandatory in a class, or is it an elective that they can mess around with this if they want to?
Well, it can actually be both. It can be, many schools have a required careers course, so it can be utilized in a careers course, or it can be utilized in any other area within the school. Because once a school has a subscription, any student can register to be part of the program and any teacher. So it has ability to do all of the above.
I think your math example is a good one, too. You could get someone to talk about why you need math.
Yeah, math is a really good example because so many times kids will say, and I was a science teacher, so I didn't do math, I did do math when I taught physics or something like that, right? But kids, that's a little easier to justify. Kids can kind of see the connection there, right? But when you're just sitting in a math class, it's so common for kids to say, when will I ever use this? Why am I sitting here having to do this? And so one of the ideas that we want to work with is to share with students through various means different careers, and we're hoping to work with businesses for them to actually put a component onto Future Forward that would explain, here's the kind of math that we're doing, and this is how it applies to this job at many different levels, so that students can see that it might not be the same exact math that they're learning at the moment, but they can see that math is actually utilized in different ways out in the actual career world.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, one more.
Oh, go ahead.
Popped in my head. Is there anywhere in here where it covers the basics of being a good employee, like showing up on time, personal hygiene, and those kind of things?
Yes. That's not built in yet, but many discussions have happened about that feature. So that is a very common thing that comes back to high schools about career planning. And what do we call them, soft skills?
Yeah, I talked to a lot they can't get the people to come in on time. They'll work for 2 weeks and they'll say, well, I'm kind of sick working.
Yep. And part of this is built into the program. If you can develop experiences for kids early on, then they start to see what we're hoping is that they'll start to see the value of coming on time, where they may not be accountable right now as a teenager. They don't have that experience going out as much as they probably should. And so that component is often built into the internships or the work experiences, because students are now going out to businesses during the class time, during the day, to work and get paid. And they're developing those skills with the businesses that take the students in, with the advisor that they're working with at the school. So as these programs build the CTE component as well, those soft skills will be built in as well.
Okay. Wayne?
Two quick questions. You said Monticello has this somewhat up and rolling. Are you at liberty to say which businesses are actively participating? Second question, are you working with, there's a few of them left in the state. One is the Wright Technical Center in Buffalo. Since you were from Annandale, you're probably aware of it.
Yep.
Good programs there. And then there's also in St. Michael, many of our union electricians go through the JATC in St. Michael. It's a training center for union electricians. Do you work with organizations such as that?
Yes. Okay. Yes and no. We're getting there. I can tell you that in Monticello, I actually attended the first CTE advisory board meeting this last week, and Aeroplex is a company that has been having students come and do some internships and other job shadowing and things of that nature. The Wright County is on the board, so they had representation there. So there's room for everybody at the table. The more information or the more we get, the better the program will become. That's the attitude. I suppose after our December dates, we'll see if St. Michael has more interest. Mm-hmm. But there are schools around the state that are converting to more CTE-type programs to hit that 75% of the workforce that hasn't had as much emphasis, and those soft skills and all those other things are being discussed. And so once we get those other districts the information, again, we'll keep trying to build our network up for these kids so that we can get and maintain a better workforce, because there is a lot of frustration. And it's interesting to hear from businesses, but schools see it too. So we're working with the same kinds of frustrations with soft skills, trying to figure out how we're going to pull all of that in to give kids what they need.
So I hate to cut you off.
We'll take one
more question.
I just wanted to clarify. You said that the businesses and the schools would not have to put any money to be a part of this program. Right now it's funded through the grant.
Right.
So there's no cost to the school district and no cost to a business to become part of the program.
Correct.
That's all I have.
And on a side note, I will say that, again, just a reminder, Monticello and Sauk Rapids, along with other districts, they wouldn't participate in the pilot program because they don't have the money to spare right now. So thank you for volunteering those funds.
And thank you, Wanda, for coming and presenting. And we have Wanda's information. As you're thinking of more things or have more questions, please connect with her or Karen going forth. So I appreciate your time, and we need to move along. Thanks, Wanda.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number 9, our staff reports. They were all in your packet, pages 11 through 21. Is there anything, Karen, that you'd like to highlight?
Just in addition to the... On page 11, the American Rescue Act plan projects, this was one of them. The other one we've been working with on the EPIC side is the idea of putting career exploration experiences in a box and circulating it across the region. And we've been working with the Central Minnesota Boy Scouts. They just hired their position. That's partially our funds that's our, is supporting that position. And his name is Eric Streichertz. He was a county sheriff officer and is retiring. He's a young guy. I don't know how sheriff's department's work. He's younger than me and he's retiring, I'm pretty sure. but he came up through the career post program that the Boy Scouts have. In high school, he learned about the sheriff's department through that program and became a sheriff. And so he's super passionate about this project and bringing experiences to students. So he's like just the right guy at the right time. I'm so excited to see what will happen once he gets his sea legs. He just accepted on Friday. So we're really excited to learn that. And I think if, in the interest of time, if you have any questions about the reports, I can answer them. But our staff did a really good job of telling you what's going on right now.
So, here.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm
sorry, one quick more question. Grant, money, no. How about sustainability? I mean,
well, the resource training and solutions piece, we're giving them startup cash, basically. If a school wants to get on, we will support that school if they're in our region. And it's not super expensive, so our hope is they would have a local business to support it. If they don't, you know, that's a conversation to be had. But part of the way this is funded is as school districts sign on, that's when the funds are exchanged because we don't want school districts to sign on and then not use it. They really do need an educator on the other side of this who's willing to lead the program, and not all schools are ready for that right now. So that part, they understand that it's one-time funding. They have their business model to tier it up, and it's working down in the Southeast Co-op with Central Minnesota Boy Scouts, the EPIC Board, and Partner for Student Success. United Way Partner for Student Success is also partially funding the position, and the EPIC Board has employers, a pretty wide range of employers around here, so I suspect they'll do fundraising if the concept is something they want to sustain. Basically, this is startup cash for two career workforce-related projects in the region that we knew were happening and tied really closely with the intent of our funding.
Okay. Any other questions about the reports? Okay. So moving on to item number 10, 10.1, a Finance Committee report. Ed.
So it was in your packet, and we had several action items. The third quarter financial report was the fines, the request to purge at fines at the end of the year. All that passed designated for library awareness subscriptions. Amy, give us a good deal on that. And the budget surplus, it was moved to forward about $100,000 for the 2023 budget. Is there any questions on any of them? Somebody can maybe answer. Hearing none, I'll move for approval, Madam Chair.
Okay, is there a second?
Yep, second, Madam Chair.
Seconded by Dave. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to item 10.2, the Personnel Committee. This is an action item tonight. So, Jane.
During our meeting tonight, we did approve a revision of the insurance benefits. So we're bringing that to the full board to accept that. And we also did a performance review of Karen. And it did come out that Karen exceeds the requirements in all the areas that were reviewed. And with that, I'd like to move that our report from the Personnel Committee is accepted.
Okay, is there a second? Seconded by Randy. Okay, any comments or questions about the Personnel Report? Okay, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Item number 10.3, the Fund Development Committee. Do we have a Fund Development Committee report? Did they meet?
Yeah, they did meet. Do you want me to do the report, or do you guys want to do the report?
Go ahead, give the report, and I'll tell everybody why you're wrong.
Okay, sounds good. Fund Development Committee met the day after the Great River Board meeting in October. They reviewed the fund development plan. There were a lot of conversations about it, and I think it's in your packet for approval later on.
And the main thing I would add is the disappointment, if you could say that gall at, was last year, is we didn't get board participation, and including this board member. And this time around, what I'm asking board members for is one per diem as a minimum. And since I missed last year, I did two per diems, one for this year, one for last year. It puts us in an awkward situation to ask employees to participate if we don't participate. So I'm not a real big top-down type, so that's where we're at.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, moving on. Item number 11, unfinished business, 11.1, Executive Director Annual Evaluation Summary.
I can repeat that, Madam Chair. Karen, we did review Karen in the closed meeting, and she did exceed the requirements in all areas that were reviewed.
Okay.
We can relax for a while.
Yeah, another year.
Another year. Well, yes. 11.2, Great River Regional Library Fundraising Plan. That's on page number 23. And it is a number of pages.
We went over it in depth at the October work session.
We already had this at the October work session. Nothing has changed on it since then, correct? No. So what you're seeing is what you saw in October. I know you've looked at it every week between then and now. I saw some eyes roll. So but tonight is the night we need to act on it. So with that, I would appreciate a motion to approve the 2022 to 2025 fundraising plan.
I'd move that.
Second.
Motion by Lee, seconded by Mary. Any other questions, concerns, comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Almost have us back on time. That's my goal, especially for my last meeting. Turning the page, 12.1. Oh, here we go. Great River Regional Library COVID-19 vaccination policy. We're just going to chat about this a little bit. Little.
Right. Karen. So I don't know. I did send out a message about this, just summarizing when we sent the packet out. When we were doing the packet printing, it looked like we might have to have a policy in front of you tonight. Since then, there is a federal injunction in the courts around the OSHA standard that would require us as a large employer to have a vaccination and testing policy in place for our employees. We've been talking with legal counsel. Minnesota is a state that has its own OSHA policy, so even if the federal mandate would go through at some point, the state mandate would be the one we'd need to follow. So we would wait for that timeline to unfold before we'd actually put a policy in place. Julie and I have talked about this a lot. We have staff who aren't vaccinated. That's a reality. We have staff who would maybe not work for us anymore if they were vaccinated. And that being set aside, I think one of our challenges is we have 250 employees over 5,000 square miles and 32 buildings, most of whom are part-time. Administering a required vaccine mandate is not something we've ever done before, and just the time it would take to do that, we would prefer not to have to if we can avoid it, because it would just take a lot of energy away from other things. It's nothing to do with our stance on whether people should be vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, I am vaccinated. I think a good number of the people around this table are as well. So as an employer, our recommendation to the board is just wait and see. And we would be open to hearing what's happening in your workplaces if you are working for a large employer, if you've received some insights or other advice, because it seems like daily this is changing a little bit each day.
I think many of us serve on entities that are have had some similar discussions over the last few days. So I'd like to open it. Any comments or questions of Julie or Karen, Julie or Karen? But I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it is moving and changing every day, and we really don't know. And we have personal feelings on it, and then we also know professionally realities of it in everything we work on. So
I have a question. What kind of communication are you having with staff about it?
At this point, we did send out a message that was very similar to the board, saying, you know, we're taking a look at it, and we'll be talking about it at the board meeting next Tuesday. And then tomorrow, after this board meeting, I'll do a short summary saying this is what we talked about. We're still waiting to hear on what the actual state requirement is. Because, you know, we can create a policy, and then the state will say something else, and we'll have to redo the policy. So even if we were going to have a policy, I think it's premature to create one right now. And I would say that to anybody who asked me.
That we're sending something similar out to our county staff. Very broad, very general. But we've heard staff, there's rumors flying all over from different staff members at the county. So we're doing a similar. So
I would add, too, we do have quarter four staff huddles scheduled by Zoom, I think, next Tuesday. So if people want to ask questions about it, they'll have an opportunity to do so. I was kind of waiting from the regional library world to hear what everyone else was doing, and then I realized we're the only regional public library system that has 100 employees or more. So we are kind of out on our own. Every other library in the state that's that large is either a city or a county library down in the metro area. So we're, as a library entity, we'll probably be following our county's lead, because that's going to be our best source of information at this point.
Okay. Good for now. 12.2 Memorandum of Agreement 2022 Benefits Reopener. You have copies of these at your place tonight, two different units. I will turn this to Karen.
This mirrors the policy change that we just approved for the full staff. Because we have a benefits reopener in both contracts, Commissioner Ed Popp and Commissioner Randy Wincher joined Julie, myself, and legal counsel in meeting with the union and negotiating these agreements. Both units approved them last Wednesday. The change is everyone who's benefit eligible will receive the same amount of benefits in order to cover single health, dental, and life insurance.
Okay, so this is an action item. Can we take them together? One is the Library Services Coordinator Unit, and one is the General Unit. You have both of them with you. We can take them together, so I need a motion.
I can move that.
Motion made by Lee.
I'll second it.
And a seconded by Ed. Any questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Stretch if you need to. People are getting tired. We're almost done.
I'm stretched.
12.3, page 33, open hours adjustments.
This is an information piece. It was passed as part of our 2022 budget. Credit to Commissioner Dave Kircher for raising the question back when we were setting the budget. We originally estimated that this would be about $125,000 proposal. We are not doing open hours in every library, partly because the staffing just didn't work out quite right, or we already had a lot of hours in those libraries. So it is about half of what we thought it would cost in terms of estimating time. There is one minor typo in this proposal in that Staples on page 40, it says they're adding 2 open hours for a total of 27. That's incorrect. They already have 35 hours. They're adding 2 open hours for a total of 37. We're not cutting their open hours. So you can see we focused very heavily on our smallest libraries, adding more consistent schedules, and adding an open a day where we could. And a lot of credit goes to our staff in making this happen. Our library services coordinators worked with the people who are working in their libraries to figure out how they could do this. And it will be a great enhancement for the public once this goes live. So this will be in January when it starts.
Madam Chair, if I may, I've been receiving emails thanking the board and myself for doing this because in changing the hours or expanding the hours and different days, I think people feel more comfortable now with their schedules and our schedules. And I think it's a wise use of our money. So I do thank you for doing that and the work you guys have put into it. So.
Brandy, Ryan, and Kara, it was a lot of herding cats over the last 3 months to try to figure out who's working where, when are they working, when are they changing the hours. Oh, my gosh, there's so many logistics, but it's going to be very impressive.
Yeah, I appreciate the work on this, and some of them that have changed from just a whole block of day to an hour closed in the middle of the day, it'll be interesting to see how that all goes, and I like that we allowed the locals some input on that because they know their communities, you know.
Well, one of the things, Madam Chair, I received from some staff was what they were afraid what we were going to do or what the schedulers were going to do was give the bigger libraries more attention on this, and that really was, it really is the opposite. So thank you for doing that because it's the smaller libraries that really need to accommodate the patrons, so.
And that was just an information. Anyone else have comments or questions about that?
In my opinion, the smaller libraries have more of a personal contact. I mean, you're going to hear, I'll bet you, at the smaller libraries, more of a commentary along the lines of our library, you know, and if you can get to that point, terrific.
Okay. Item number 12.4, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Appointment.
I mislabeled this as an approval, but Zuria Anjum has said she's willing to serve on CMLE the last time I talked to her, so this would be...
Did you clarify that it's on a Wednesday?
It is on a Wednesday, yep.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize it was that big a deal.
You're our hero today.
It's a life membership, you know.
Yeah. 6 years. Yes, maximum six.
6 years. So we don't need to approve that.
Yeah, I think you just have to officially appoint her.
So
yeah.
I will officially make that an appointment. So, yeah. Thank you. Item number 12.5. We only know of one departing member this year, so, and that is Dave, who has served.
Dave! Don't look so happy!
Dave has served on our board for 9 years, feels like 19.
No.
No. Actually, I have to tell you, probably one of the best boards I've served on. I really enjoy this board, and when I came on this board, I knew nothing about this system. I really didn't, and I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of great people, a lot of great board members. I'm so proud of our executive director. When I came on, was about the time our other executive director disappeared. And then we had to do the search and all the other stuff. And we had some other issues, but we got that straightened out. And, but I really enjoy it, and I want to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to be on this board and giving me an opportunity to give my speech once in a while, and I really appreciate it. So I'm going to miss being on the board because I used to come here and then go to Menards and Fleet. Now I don't know what I'm going to tell my wife. How I can.
You only got to wait 1 year, right?
Yeah, you can come back in a year.
You can still visit.
No. And I have decided I am not going to rerun for county commissioner. I have 1 year left. So 16 years as a county commissioner and 12 years as a sheriff. I think I've paid my dues in public service. So next year will be my last year as a county board member. So I've met a lot of great people there. And I have had quite an experience in public service. So thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you for serving
Thank
us.
You.
Thank you for
Thank
your leadership.
You, Dave. I would like to say, you know, I came on, I think you were chairing
yes.
when I came
yes.
on. And you, I appreciated you as chair, as a leader, and how even-keeled and level you are with
Thank
your
you.
Approach to things. Very thoughtful. So I learned a lot and just have appreciated you on the board. So.
Thank you. Well, I just want to give you politicians just a little advice. good luck in the future. But when I ran, I was always running. Everybody asked me, what is your agenda? And I said, I have no agenda. My advice to you is run on common sense. That was what I put in my brochure. I ran on common sense, and common sense will get you a long ways in life. So, when you rerun again, which I hope you all do, because I'm really proud of what you guys are doing, remember to use common sense when you're using this. It doesn't matter about this party business. Just use common sense and play it by ear and make the right decisions. And this group has made good decisions, and I'm proud of this library system, and I know my wife will never stop using it. So thank you for all what you guys do. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dave, it's been an honor to serve with you, Dave, on this library system. I mean, you've led us through some really tough years. I mean, there's not a lot of people I can say I walked through fire with, but you are literally one of those people. So, and I know our staff have always appreciated your vocal support of the work that they do. And thank you so much for that leadership. It has really helped turn this system into what it is today. So thank you.
And I'm proud of the staff here, too. I think you've got a great staff. When I first came here, I don't know if any of you were here, maybe Mary.
I came right behind
okay.
you.
Okay. The staff would sit way back here, and the board was up here. It's like, okay, why is there distance between us? Now, the board at that time, when I was here, I said, bring the staff in with us and make them a part of this so that they can have input and listen to us and our discussions. And since then, the board, I think the staff has appreciated that because they kind of felt like they were outsiders and were never a part of this board. But I think it's important to also make that staff feel that they're a part of the organization. And that's how I work as a county commissioner, too. The staff, you pay them to do their jobs, respect their advice and decisions, and do what they think is best, because that's what you're paying them for. So,
Dave, if you want to come forward, we have your certificate. Karen,
take
you,
your picture.
Karen, you come forward, too, Karen.
Oh, I don't know. Then I can't take the picture.
Someone else.
All right, Julie.
Julie can do it.
Last year we did that over Zoom, if you remember,
yeah.
And Jeff Bertram had to leave to go to the Armadillos concert, so we never did get to
okay.
all thank him. He came back to the next meeting, though. So,
Okay, that's it for anything else? No? Ooh, only 2 minutes off. Open forum. Anyone have anything they'd like to share going on in their organization or happening?
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Thank you.
Say that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Priya.
So, I don't know whether you all know, but I'm currently the chair of FACT, which is Feeding Area Children's Together, and we feed about 510 kids in the St. Cloud and the area here, Sartell, Sauk Rapids. So we do break boxes over the Christmas break where we give fresh produce, milk, proteins, eggs, yogurt, cheese, that kind of a box for the whole family so that they can go through the big break. We need donations for that. If anybody would like to please donate for that, that is stcloudfact.org. And we had budget. So with the supply and demand, I'll just give you an example. We had budgeted for the amount of boxes we did last year and increased the budget. So the amount of budget that we had catered for was about $9,000 for the boxes. Our bid has come in at $15,000. And so we are desperately, we need to place the order in the next 2 weeks if we are going to do them. So just to reach out and let people know if anybody would like to donate for that.
Okay. St. Cloud Fact.
Fact.org.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else going on? I think that's it. I, too, want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. I already celebrated with my family, so I'm, like, done. It's an amazing feeling. I have a son that lives in California. He was here earlier in the month, so we celebrated then. So that was good. Our next meeting will be January 18th, unless there's anything between now and then urgent that we have to meet about, and could probably do that with the executive committee if we had to. But as of now, our next meeting is January 18th, and our business is complete, so we are adjourned.